This is Conrad Henry Roy III reporting about social anxiety. Social anxiety to me is the inability to function properly in a manner that you want to in social situations. And one of the things that I've realized is not all eyes are on you at all times. People don't necessarily judge you particularly in a situation where you're not feeling very good about yourself. You're making mistakes. Like, people understand that you come across as awkward. They're not gonna judge you, make fun of you. Like, that's just who you are as an individual. And the quicker you are to realize who you are, the better. Like, you don't have to be this amazing, like, thought out, drawn out, like, superhero, like Incredible Hulk, Superman, I don't know, the people that are portrayed in the media as, like, perfect, when they're not perfect. I mean, if you take drugs, serious cocaine, like, Bieber, oh my god, he's not perfect. Nobody's perfect. You just have to accept yourself as an individual.
Mental health is a subject that carries a stigma, and it shouldn't. There isn't a person in the world that hasn't experienced some period in their life where they felt a little less than themselves. I'm not ashamed to admit that I have had periods of struggling with my mental health. Most often, you will never know if someone is struggling. People who have dealt with these issues throughout their life have become very keen on how to disguise it. Being told to toughen up, it'll pass, you're overreacting, only hardens your shell and makes it harder for you to let people in, to know what truly is going on through your mind, and in turn, make you feel more and more alone. If there is one message I can get across when talking about mental health, is it that people need to be more compassionate. In today's world of online trolls, neighbors growing more distant, jobs focusing more on the bottom line, and schools focusing more on reaching state test scores than reaching the hearts and minds of children, people have grown to be desensitized to the basic needs of a person, and that is to be loved and accepted. We need more compassion for each other, especially towards those who you know are struggling, but are too proud or too ashamed to accept it. Assure them, you are there if they need you. Reassure them through words and actions. Some people's shells are thicker than others, so it may take time to break through, but don't give up on them. They have been shunned many times before. Don't add yourself to the list of people who have given up on them. So be compassionate. It doesn't cost a thing and doesn't take more than a moment of your day. As we will learn in this episode's story, there wasn't much compassion given to the one who needed it the most. In fact, they were encouraged to end their own life, even though deep down inside they were reluctant to take it. The story of Conrad Roy and Michelle Carter struck many throughout New England. Conrad and Michelle both had their time dealing with mental health issues, and what seemed to be a good pairing because they both understood each other turned into something else. We have to ask ourselves, can one person be held responsible for another person taking their own life? The answer, according to the state of Massachusetts, is yes. In the unprecedented case against Michelle Carter beginning in June of 2017, the state of Massachusetts argued that Michelle failed to intercede in the suicide of Conrad Roy, who passed away on July 13, 2014, at the age of 18 from carbon monoxide poisoning. In fact, prosecutors accused Michelle of coercing Conrad into doing the act. The proof, they say, was in a series of text messages and phone calls between Conrad and Michelle, dating as far back as 2012. At first, Michelle Carter would attempt to persuade Conrad into seeking help for his depression. But all of this changed when Michelle began to think it would be beneficial for her if Conrad did kill himself. Why this change of heart? Soon we will discuss how Michelle used Conrad's depression and eventual suicide for her own personal gain, and how even after his death, she kept the charade going for months in a vain attempt to seek sympathy and acceptance from people who she considered friends. While we cannot tell Conrad Roy's story without including the role Michelle Carter played in his life and death, I will attempt to tell this story from the perspective of Conrad Roy. I will also include excerpts of the text messages shared between the two, with Kelly Corder and myself playing the roles of Michelle Carter and Conrad Roy. I will say this again. If you or someone you love is struggling with mental health issues, please seek help through a licensed professional therapist. If you are having thoughts of harming yourself, call your region's emergency service number immediately. Your life matters. Conrad Roy and Michelle Carter met in Naples, Florida in February of 2012. Michelle was visiting her grandparents, while Conrad was visiting his great-aunt. They soon discovered that they were both from Massachusetts, less than 40 miles apart, with Conrad living part-time in his mother's home in Fairhaven, and his father's home in Mattapoisett, while Michelle lived in Plainville. They spent the rest of their time together in Florida, riding bikes and walking, and by the end of the trip, both had agreed to keep in touch. Over the next 2 years, the two would see each other in person less than 5 times, but they would communicate numerous times a day, via text, phone call, and email. While it's been stated that Conrad never officially called Michelle his girlfriend to his family or friends, toward the end of Conrad's life, Michelle asked if she would be able to call herself his girlfriend after he passed, to which he agreed. Conrad and Michelle's relationship was unorthodox to begin with, but through their communications, they appeared to be in love with each other, or what two teenagers who have never been in love think being in love is. At first, Conrad and Michelle were very open and supportive of each other, and of their respective mental health challenges, and would help steer the other from making drastic decisions that could have a harmful or permanent effect on their life. In 2014, however, Michelle's role in their relationship changed. Rather than trying to dissuade Conrad from taking his life, she began encouraging him.
The hardest thing for me is to be comfortable in my own skin. Now I know. A lot of people tell me that I have a lot going for me. I have to be happy. Well, no, you don't have to be happy. Your happiness comes from what your conscious thoughts and well-being. It's you create your own happiness. And by you creating your own happiness, in a sense, you're in a society where you look at someone better off than you, happier, and you want to be jealous and envious of them. It's just subconscious. When you're depressed, you just go to place. Oh yeah, this guy's happy. You just point out, the obvious. But it's not real.
Michelle Carter was born August 11th, 1996, in Plainville, Massachusetts, to Dale and Gail Carter. She didn't have many friends, and she awkwardly tried to include herself in other girls' lives unsuccessfully. To the adults she interacted with, Michelle appeared to be a normal teen girl. She played softball and was voted most likely to brighten your day by her high school classmates. She would be in pictures, smiling alongside other girls. She was a good student, she was said to be polite, and she seemed outgoing. Almost too much. In reality, her inner thoughts did not match this picture-perfect outward persona. She may have seemed like she had a lot of friends, but none of her relationships were deep or meaningful, She was at best an acquaintance to the ones she considered friends. Dr. Peter Bregan, a psychiatrist who testified in Carter's trial for the defense, even called her desperate. She would incessantly text the friends she did have, making her appear needy, and it pushed girls away. Michelle had this unhealthy obsession with Glee and other teen movies and TV shows. She would quote parts of the show to Conrad about how she loved him. In the show Glee, if you're not familiar, the two main actors were dating on and off screen. The boyfriend died from an overdose in a hotel room. Michelle would quote not only lines from the show, but real things that the actress had said in interviews about the death of her boyfriend. Many would say Michelle didn't really know who she was, and would place herself in the heads of these fictitious characters from these shows and movies. She had no real friends, but these characters did, and she wanted to be just like them. When Conrad and Michelle's relationship started, she would try to stop Conrad from trying to commit suicide. She would tell him that she loved him and had told him not to go through with it. Over time, something changed. Some say it was a change in her psychological medication. She had been on Prozac for years before switching to another antidepressant, Celexa, in April of 2014, 3 months before Conrad's death. These types of drugs can impair judgment, wisdom, understanding, love, and empathy, especially in an adolescent brain. Her defense team said that Michelle was involuntarily intoxicated. They believed that Michelle began to think that she could help Conrad get what he wanted, to die painlessly and get to heaven, and then help his family grieve less by understanding them. This neediness and desperation is what many suspect as a motive for pushing Conrad to commit suicide. She knew she would have attention if her boyfriend died. This theory is in a way tested when Michelle herself told people that her boyfriend had gone missing days before he actually died. She started to get some of the attention that she was craving. So she gets a taste of this attention, and it pushes her even more to make Conrad go through with his suicidal plans. She didn't want to appear to be a liar, after all. And all of that attention felt way too good to let go of. Conrad was born September 12, 1995, to Conrad Roy Jr. and Lynn Roy. He has two younger sisters, Morgan and Camden. His parents separated when he was 16, and it affected him mentally. He tried to please everyone, and he went out of his way to appease both his mother and his father, and set high expectations for himself. He worked with his father, grandfather, and uncle in the family's marine salvage business, Tucker Roy Machine Towing and Salvage. In the spring of 2014, he earned his captain's license from the Northeast Maritime Institute. In the same year, he graduated on the honor roll from Old Rochester Regional High School in Mattapoisett. He was accepted to Fitchburg State University to study business, which he never got to attend. Conrad was a hard-working, intelligent young man, but he was also very sad and depressed. He had attempted suicide multiple times before. He tried in 2012, right after his parents divorced. His father was physically abusive at times, and his grandfather verbally abused him. He struggled with social anxiety and depression and had seen several therapists and counselors. At the age of 17, he was hospitalized for acetaminophen overdose. In interviews with his family, you could tell that he was truly loved and that they miss him terribly. Despite their issues and fighting, they would do anything to have him back. They were so proud of him and of his grades and of his becoming a captain so young. His grandfather was bursting with pride and holding back tears, telling the story about how Conrad walked in with his captain's license. If only he knew how much they truly did love him. Conrad tried to get help. He was on the antidepressant citalopram. But there were warnings on the box that it may increase suicidal thoughts in people under 24. This, paired with the text he got from his girlfriend, someone who he loved and thought loved him, pushed him to complete the suicide attempt.
I am who I am. Yes, I can develop as a person, be more fluent, articulate, passionate about who I am. Or I can just go home, sit in my basement, and just do nothing about it. Just sit in my sorrows, weep, cry over something that is in the past. Or I can just take it one by a day by day, step by step. I mean, it's going to be difficult to accomplish. But I need to, for personal growth, accomplish this sense of self-pride in myself.
There are thousands of text messages between Michelle and Conrad leading up to Conrad's death. I will provide some of these text messages so you can understand the relationship between these two young people. Once again, Kelly Corder and myself are playing the roles of Michelle Carter and Conrad Roy. Before we continue, if you or someone you love is listening to this episode and have or currently are struggling with your mental health, I advise you to please skip through these text messages. These texts begin on July 5th, 8 days before Conrad took his life. Hi.
Hi.
What's up?
Just woke up. You? Why do you seem happy?
Because tonight's the night.
You said that last night and the night before.
I know, but it has to happen tonight. I'll be all alone. Mom and Brian are sleeping over a friend's house in Rhode Island.
So, yeah, tonight seems like the perfect night. Like you have all night to try different things.
Yes.
Do you think tonight really is the night you're going to do it?
I think.
There's a difference between saying I'm going to try to commit suicide and I am going to commit suicide.
Well, I'm going to try.
So you don't want it bad enough. You already know you're going to fail because part of you wants to fail. Just saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, what?
It's just hard, Michelle.
I know it is.
In the few days leading to Conrad Roy taking his life, the following messages were also exchanged between him and Michelle.
I think your parents know you're in a really bad place. I'm not saying they want you to do it, but honestly, I feel like they can accept it. They know there's nothing they can do. They've tried helping. Everyone's tried. But there's a point that comes to where there isn't anything anyone can do to save you. Not even yourself. And you've hit that point. And I think your parents know that you've hit that point. You said your mom saw a suicide thing on your computer, and she didn't say anything. I think she knows that's on your mind, and she's prepared for it. Everyone will be sad for a while, but they'll get over it and move on. They won't be in depression. I won't let that happen. They know how sad you are, and they know that you're doing this to be happy, and I think that they will understand and accept it. They will always carry you in their hearts.
Well, thank you, Michelle.
They will move on for you because they know that's what you would have wanted. They know you wouldn't want them to be sad and depressed and angry and guilty. They know you want them to live their lives and be happy. So they will for you. You're right. You need to stop thinking about this and just do it because overthinking always kills overthinking.
Yeah, it does. I've been thinking about it for way too long.
Always smile. And yeah, you just have to do it. You have everything you need. There's no way you can fail. Tonight is the night. It's now or never. And if you don't think about it, you won't think about failing. You'll just do it and then think you'll succeed.
That's what I'm talking about. I read so much about failed attempts going wrong that it's gotten me discouraged.
Yeah, exactly. So stop doing that. There is more success than there are failures.
Are you kidding me?
You have to look at it the way that people only fail because they have the same mindset as you, thinking they'll fail.
I really want to believe you.
Why don't you? You can't think about it. You just have to do it. You said you were going to do it. Like, I don't get why you aren't.
I don't get it either. I don't know.
So I guess you just aren't going to do it then. All that for nothing. I'm just confused. Like you were so ready and determined.
I'm going to eventually. I really don't know what I'm waiting for, but I have everything lined up.
Well, I guess just because you say you're going to do it, but you don't. But last night, I know you really wanted to do it, and I'm not mad. Well, I mean, kind of, I guess. Just because you always say you're going to do it. But you don't. But last night, I knew you really wanted to, and I'm not mad. You're not joking about this or bullshitting me, right? I just want to make sure that you're being serious. Like, I know you are, but I don't know. You always say you're going to do it, but you never do. I just want to make sure tonight's the real thing. Don't do it in the driveway. You'll be easily found. Find a spot.
I don't know. I'm thinking of a public place. If I go somewhere private, they may call the cops.
Well, then someone will notice you. Do you think you'll get caught? I mean, it only takes 30 minutes, right? Just park your car and sit there. It'll take like 20 minutes. It's not even a big deal.
July 13th, 2014. The day of Conrad's suicide. Michelle begins texting at 4:07 a.m.
Conrad. Hey, you there?
Hey, sorry. I fell asleep.
It's okay. Why haven't you done it yet, though?
I'm too messed up to.
What are you talking about?
My head.
You can't think about it. You just have to do it. You said you were going to do it. Like, I don't get why you aren't.
I don't get it either. I don't know.
So I guess you just aren't going to do it then. All that for nothing. I'm just confused. Like, you were so ready and determined.
I'm going to eventually. I really don't know what I'm waiting for, but I have everything lined up.
No, you're not, Conrad. Last night was it. You kept pushing it off and saying that you'll do it, but you'll never do. It's always going to be that way if you don't take action. You're just making it harder on yourself by pushing it off. You just have to do it. Do you want to do it now?
Is it too late? I don't know. It's already light outside. I'm going to go back to sleep. Love you. I'll text you tomorrow.
No. It's probably the best time now because everyone's sleeping. Just go somewhere in your truck. And no one's really out right now just because it's an awkward time. If you don't do it now, you're never going to do it. And you say you'll do it tonight, but you probably won't. Love you.
Thank you.
Conrad Roy falls asleep. 5 hours later, at 9:03 a.m., Michelle picks the conversation back up.
Are you awake?
Yes.
Are you going to do it today?
Yes.
Like, in the daytime?
Should I?
Yeah, it's less suspicious. You won't think about it as much, and you'll get it over with instead of waiting until the night.
Yeah, then I will. But, like, where? Like, I could go in any enclosed area.
Go in your truck and drive in a parking lot somewhere, to park or something. Do it now, like early.
Didn't we say this was suspicious?
No, I think night is more suspicious. A kid sitting in his car, just turn on the radio and do it. It won't be suspicious. It won't take long.
All right. I'm taking Holly for a walk.
Okay.
I don't know why I'm like this.
Sometimes things happen and we never have the answers why.
Like, why am I so hesitant lately? Like, 2 weeks ago, I was willing to try everything, and now I'm worse, like, really bad. And I'm not following through. It's eating me inside.
You're so hesitant because you keep overthinking it and pushing it off. You need to just do it, Conrad. The more you push it off, the more it will eat at you. You're ready and prepared. All you have to do is turn the generator on, be free, and happy. No more pushing it off, no more waiting.
You're right.
If you want it as bad as you say you do, it's time to do it today.
Yep, no more waiting.
Okay, I'm serious. Like, you can't even wait until tonight. You have to do it when you get back from your walk.
Thank you.
For what?
Still being here.
I would never leave you. You're the love of my life, my boyfriend, my heart. I'd never leave you.
Aww.
I love you.
Love you too.
When will you be back from your walk?
Like 5 minutes.
Okay, so are you going to do it?
I guess.
Well, I want you to be ready and sure.
I don't know. I'm freaking out again. I'm overthinking.
I thought you wanted to do this. This time is right, and you're ready. You just need to do it. You can't keep living this way. You just need to do it like you did last time and not think about it and just do it, babe. You can't keep doing this every day.
I do want to. But, like, I'm freaking out for my family, I guess. I don't know.
Conrad, I told you, I'll take care of them. Everyone will take care of them and make sure they won't be alone, and people will help them get through it. We talked about this. They will be okay and accept it. People who commit suicide don't just think this much. They just do it.
I know. Thinking just drives me more crazy.
Exactly. You need to just do it, Conrad. You can't keep doing this every day.
Okay. I'm going to do it today.
Do you promise?
I promise, babe. I have to now.
Like right now?
Where do I go?
You can't break a promise and just go in a quiet parking lot or something.
Okay.
Go somewhere you know you won't get caught. You can find a place. I know you can. Are you doing it now?
Still have no clue.
Not finding a place to go isn't an excuse.
I know where to go.
Where?
A park and ride.
Ride?
That's what it's called. It's like a parking lot.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Are you going now?
Either that or go to the beach.
Why would you go to the beach?
Well, that's where my mom's going.
I thought you were just going to do it.
My mom's making me go. When I get home, I'm going to do it.
Okay, promise? I'm going kayaking anyways.
Ha, you love kayaking.
Yep, so something I wish we could have done.
Make sure you take your son kayaking.
Of course I will.
I'm in the worst pain right now. Like, it's unbearable.
I think it's time to do it now, then. Do you agree? Conrad? Please answer me.
I'm still at the beach.
Oh, okay, sorry.
I'm determined.
I'm happy to hear that.
I'm ready.
Good, because it's time, babe. You know that. When you get back from the beach, you gotta do it. You're ready. You're determined. It's the best time.
Okay, I will.
Are you back?
No more thinking.
Yes, no more thinking. You just need to do it. No more waiting.
On my way back. I know where to go now.
Where?
A parking lot. There's going to be no cars there at 9, so that's when I'll be found.
Okay, perfect. When will you be home?
10 minutes.
That's perfect.
Okay. And, well, yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't want to kill anyone else with me.
You won't.
Well, when they open the door, they won't know it's odorless and colorless.
You're overturning. They will see the generator and realize you breathed in the CO.
So, should I keep it in the back seat or front?
In front. You can write it on a piece of paper and tape it on, saying carbon monoxide or something if you're scared.
I was thinking that, but someone might see it before it actually happens.
Well, wait, the generator is going to be on because you'll be passed out, so they'll know you use carbon poisoning. It's not loud, is it?
Not really.
Okay, good. Are you going to do it now?
I'm home.
Okay. What?
I don't know, I'm stressing.
You're fine. It's gonna be okay. You just gotta do it, babe. You can't think about it.
Okay, I got this.
Yes, you do. I believe in you. Did you delete the messages?
Yes, but you're gonna keep messaging me.
I will until you turn on the generator.
Okay, well, I'm bringing my sisters for ice cream.
So will you do it when you get back?
Yep, I'll go right there.
Okay.
Okay, I'm procrastinating.
Yeah, I know. Are you back?
Yep.
So it's time.
Oh, it's been time.
Are you gonna do it now?
I just don't know how to leave them, you know?
Just say you're going to the store or something.
Like, I want them to know that I love them.
They know. That's one thing they definitely know. You're overthinking.
I know I'm overthinking. I've been overthinking for a while now.
I know. You just have to do it like you said. Are you going to do it now?
I haven't left yet.
Why?
Leaving now.
Okay. You can do this.
Okay. I'm almost there.
July 13th, 2014, 6:25 p.m. This was the last text message before Conrad took his life. There were two phone calls that were placed after these texts. The first, Conrad and Michelle spoke for 43 minutes, presumably once Conrad gets to the back parking lot of the Kmart in Fairhaven and prepares for his suicide. The second call was 46 minutes where Conrad starts to freak out once he feels the carbon monoxide poisoning taking effect. He gets out of the truck. This, according to the state of Massachusetts, is when Michelle Carter tells Conrad Roy to get back in the truck and end his life. She stays on the phone and listens to Conrad take his last breath, dying from carbon monoxide poisoning. 3 hours later. 3 hours later, she sends the following text messages to him, presumably to cover her tracks, knowing full well Conrad is dead.
Please answer me. I'm scared. Are you okay? I love you. Please answer.
Conrad needed someone to help him. To tell him not to go through with it. To tell him that he is loved. To tell him that his life matters. Sadly, the only person Conrad felt he had was Michelle. The one who was encouraging him to get back in the truck to finish the job. She could have stopped him, but she didn't, and she stayed on the phone to make sure he went through with it.
What I am doing is I'm looking at myself so negatively. Looking at myself, minuscule little particle on the face of this earth. That's no good. Trash. Will never be successful. Never have a wife. Never have kids. Never learn. Because depression can mean you don't like yourself. And the sooner I like myself, the better I'm going to be. Like, I have a lot going. I do have a lot going for me. Like, I'm like a fucking captain. I just got a job from the Boston Duck Tours to captain their boat. Like, that's a huge accomplishment. to be a captain. Listen. I usually have to get the cobwebs out. Turn the gears. The gears need to be turning. Turn them gears. That's what I gotta do. Cause I'm, look at me. I got nice teeth. I got a nice smile. I'm introverted. Nice and caring. That's some benefits. I'm a nice kid. I have a lot to offer someone. But it's, it comes to a point where I'm just too nice.
Why did Michelle demand that Conrad take his life? Attention. Michelle posted many times on Facebook about how her boyfriend had committed suicide. She posted about how she missed him. She started a baseball fundraiser in Conrad's name, in her hometown, 40 minutes away from where Conrad lived. Many believe this fundraiser should have been held in Conrad's hometown, so it'd be easier for his family and friends to attend. Michelle argued against it. Not long after Conrad's death, the police went through his phone and saw almost immediately the text from Michelle. These text messages disturbed the investigators. It was soon after that investigators obtained a search warrant. They visited Michelle at school and took her phone. In 2015, she was arrested and charged with involuntary manslaughter, and her trial began 2 years later in 2017. Her defense talked a lot about her med change and how that affected her. They said it clouded her brain and she was enmeshed in a delusion. She was unable to form intent because she was so grandiose, Dr. Bragan testified. He tried to show that his suicide made her snap to reality, even if only briefly. She texted Conrad a day after the suicide saying, "Did you do something? Conrad, I love you so much. Please tell me this is a joke. I'm sorry. I didn't think you were being serious, Conrad. Please don't leave us like this." 2 months later, she also texted Conrad to tell him that she raised $2,300 from the baseball fundraiser she put together. Dr. Bragan stated that she imagines him looking down upon her. Could her medication really cloud her judgment that much? Or is she texting these things after the fact to try to save face and aid in her trial? It's hard to say. Psychological medications are powerful, but at some point, doesn't some part of her brain kick in and make her question her words, the way she is behaving? Some could also argue that being a mostly online relationship, Michelle could have viewed Conrad as some character from one of her movies, that he wasn't real and that she was playing a part and didn't realize the weight that her words held. They had only met 5 times in the 2 years they had been a couple. Conrad's family didn't even know they were dating. They just thought they were friends because they never saw each other. On June 5th, 2017, Michelle Carter waived the right to have a trial by jury. Judge Lawrence Moniz is to be the one to decide Michelle's future. On June 16th, 2017, Michelle Carter was found guilty of involuntary manslaughter. He described her behavior as reckless. She was sentenced to 2.5 years in prison, with 15 months served and the rest suspended. She was also sentenced to 5 years probation. After nearly 2 years of unsuccessful court appeals, Carter began her sentence in 2019. And in January 2020, she was released early from prison for good behavior. She had been a model inmate who stayed out of trouble and that she participated in jail programs. She was a part of the Bible study and she worked in the kitchen where she got along with all of the inmates. Michelle's attorney says that she is remorseful and that she has come to grips with it and that she understands. She has declined to speak to any media and never spoke or testified in her trial, so we've never heard her part of the story in her own words. For Conrad Roy, he had so much going for him. He was determined and motivated. He had a family that loved him. He could have had a great life, but we, or his family, will never see that happen. His life was cut short, long before it should have been. He will be deeply missed for the rest of his family's life. It's sad, but when a person is depressed, they don't see the good, or they see the good as not good enough. The sadness, emptiness, loneliness outweighs any of the good. People try to reassure you, to tell you they love you, to tell you that they wouldn't want to live without you, but your pain is too heavy. So when someone you love, and that is supposed to love you, eggs you on in these fragile moments, it just confirms your negative thoughts. You're drowning already, and instead of throwing you a life vest, they step on your head to push you under even more. Michelle may not have physically killed Conrad, but she didn't throw him a life vest either. That is not love. Conrad deserved love. Michelle was living in a fantasy, and Conrad was just playing a role. Yes, her meds could have played a huge part. Her delusions and intoxication. There could have been small moments of clarity where she could have told his mother or sister what was happening. She pushed him and pushed him to follow through with ending his life. No person with a conscience does that. Even Dr. Bragan was dumbfounded as to why she acted the way she did. Her own doctor. Conrad will never get to tell his side of the story, but we can learn from it and try to prevent it from happening again. His mother, Lynn, resolved to change the law. In most states, there are statutes to criminalize suicide coercion. Massachusetts is not one of those states. Lynn proposed legislation dubbed Conrad's Law, It would impose a punishment of up to 5 years for anyone convicted of pressuring another to take their own life. She hopes that this law will act as a deterrent to prevent another person from losing their life. Everything that Conrad Roy ever was or ever will be is lost. If you or someone you know is thinking about taking their own life, you are not alone. In the United States, the National Suicide Prevention Hotline, 1-800-273-TALK. That's 1-800-273-8255. The Trevor Helpline, support designed for lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender youth and young adults. 866-4U-TREVOR. That's 866-488-7386. Executive producers for this episode are Christine Rivera, Beth Davis, and Dusty J. Hicks. Associate producers are Paul Hodge, Noah Schultz, Brooke Morgan, Bethany Cooper, and Terry Burke-Wolin. Producers are Stephen Day, Trent Gobble, J.D. Driscoll, Devin Dean, Chantal Sizlik, Jan O'Donnell, Jessica Lloyd, Lissa Perello, Jenny Crawford, Alicia Knight, Laura Shin, Maria Celine, and Beth Esselman. This episode of Criminal AF Direct was narrated and produced by me, Dave Jari. Special thank you to Dorothy Jari for researching and writing this episode. For an unfiltered, interactive, not safe for work version of this episode, follow Criminal AF, hosted by me and co-host Garrett Corder. Be sure to follow at Criminal AF Pod on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube, and at Criminal AF Podcast on TikTok. Signing off from Studio Chloroform. Keep your head on a swivel and take care until next time.